Whatever you do, don't look at the decorations yet. It's not Christmas. It's still Advent. They're for tonight. So come back. No matter how much snow is there, come back. See them tonight. We'll celebrate Christmas. Today we are still in Advent. We've got the last Mass of Advent. So here you are on December 24th, the Mass that most people don't get to attend, Mass in the morning on Christmas Eve. Today we end the season of Advent with this great reading from the second book of Samuel. This telling of the Ark of the Covenant and the building of the temple. Of course, in the Old Testament, there was nothing more special than the Ark of the Covenant. Of course, this was commanded to be built after the Exodus to hold the Ten Commandments, the rod of Aaron, the manna in the desert which the Israelites were given. And this specifically represented the presence of God with the people. They would carry the Ark of the Covenant in the procession to show that God was with them. And of course, as we know through the great work of art, Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, we know the great power that the Ark had. It could create a whole movie about itself, but it could also, you know, kill people just by looking at it. And indeed, the scriptures do tell us such things of the power of the Ark. And so Israel guarded carefully God's presence in the Ark. While they traveled through the wilderness, they would place it each night in the camp in a special tabernacle. Tabernacle just means tent, and literally it was the tent of meeting, in which the walls were set up around the tent of meeting and the tabernacle erected. And inside the centermost part, of course, was placed the Ark in the Holy of Holies. There, Moses would go before God to intercede for the people, much in the same way that we go into our adoration chapel today and there pray before God present in the Blessed Sacrament. And of course, this was necessary, this tent arrangement, as they wandered through the wilderness, because each time they would move, they would pack up the tabernacle and move on to their next place and then pitch the tent again and put the Blessed Sacrament there. And then, of course, they came eventually into the Promised Land. Joshua leads the people across the Jordan into the Holy Land, and there they settle in Jerusalem. And we have our story today from the book of Samuel, in which David decides that after he establishes his kingdom permanently in Jerusalem, he builds his royal palace, he decides that it's time for the Ark to stop dwelling in a mere tent, a temporary kind of place. David looks around and he says, "Here I am in a house of cedar, and yet where's the Ark of God? It's still in this tabernacle, this tent. It's time that the Ark of God also have a permanent dwelling." So David gets the idea, "I will build a great house for God." Interesting that he will use the word house. "I will build a house for God." Well, God has different plans. God comes to David and he says, "All well and good that you would like to build a beautiful place for the Ark, but you know, really that's not what is important." And it's not that God isn't saying that we shouldn't have a beautiful place for the dwelling of the Ark of the Covenant, for indeed under King Solomon, David's son, we will indeed have a beautiful temple built in Jerusalem, and it will be very holy and God will bless it. But God wants to make a different point with David in this reading. He says, "You want to build me a house." God says, "Rather, I will build a house for you." What is God saying? Well, this word house has a double meaning. It can mean a building, like David has in mind for the Ark of the Covenant, but it also has in mind a dynasty, a family, a lineage. The house of David refers not to the palace in which he lives, but rather his family line, his dynasty. So God tells David today through the prophet Samuel, "I will build you a house. I have made my covenant with you. I promise that your descendants will rule forever over my people. There will always be a king of your line, David, to rule over my people. Your house, your dynasty, will endure forever." Reminds us that in the end, everything that we can do for God pales in comparison to what God will do for us. We owe God everything, and yet He is infinite and we are finite. So in the end, what Christmas present, what gift, what suitable building could we ever build for God? Well, there is none. God says, rather, don't worry about that. I will do something for you. And for David, he says, I will build a dynasty, a permanent dwelling. But even in that dwelling through the covenant with David, even in the great temple that Solomon will build, we know that that temple will be destroyed by the Babylonians. It will be rebuilt, and then, of course, destroyed again in 70 AD by the Romans, the temple that Jesus knew. Even this great dwelling, the Ark of the Covenant, gets lost. We don't know where it is today. So how come we can have a great Harrison Ford movie about it? We don't know where the lost Ark of the Covenant is. The holiest thing we had in the Old Testament, it's missing. The temple, the holiest building ever built, gone. Rubble. Not a stone left upon a stone. The line of David, though, continues and most especially finds its fulfillment when God truly makes His permanent dwelling among us. No longer in a tent, a tabernacle, no longer even in a building, but the great mystery that we celebrate here at Christmas, God takes His building, His dwelling in us. God becomes incarnate. That means God becomes enfleshed. God now makes man His temple, His dwelling. Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. Indeed, we celebrate at Christmas the ultimate fulfillment of God's dwelling with men, that He would actually become one of us. So today, as we prepare for the great celebration of the Incarnation, we rejoice to see God's plan fulfilled throughout history, that He would take on flesh and become one of us. And although there's really nothing that we can return to God as a Christmas present for this great gift, we, like Zechariah today in our gospel, sing our praise and thanksgiving. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for He has come to His people and set them free. We are grateful today, and thanksgiving is the only true gift we can return to God on this day, in which we celebrate this Eucharist, which means itself thanksgiving. We recognize that Jesus dwells with us still. Incarnate, became man, and dwells with us just as He did in the tabernacle, in our tabernacle here in the church, present in the Eucharist. Come, let us worship Him today in the Eucharist, at Christmas, and always.